Flying Cool Tech, 118, September 19, 05. Hey y'all, how are you? I'm Larry Skukon, your host for this edition of Flying Cool Tech. I'm just heading out from work here. It's about 4:30 and I probably should have waited a little while because there's a lot of traffic out here on this street. And it's a little hard to cross. I'm coming out the side door of APH. We're going to try doing some things with the microphone that we talked about this morning. Let's go right, little buddy. I'm going east, heading down a hill. I'll wait to cross the street so this traffic clears up a little. Hey, Jean, how are you? Huh?
You okay?
You can tell me when it's clear.
You want me to help?
It's clear now, isn't it?
Yeah.
How you doing?
I didn't know if you knew exactly where you were.
I know where I'm at, but it's hard to hear with
that. Do you come this way every day?
I have been since they blocked off that area.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I've never seen you out here at this time before and thought maybe you needed help.
Oh, no. Thank you, though.
Well, we're going to be coming in out that door, too.
I know it. Yeah. We're going to be neighbors.
Great. I love it.
How's your offices coming?
I think they're close to being finished. One day last week, they put the ceilings in and lighting to the individual little offices.
Oh.
The carpet's not down yet. They've done like one coat of paint. So supposedly like the week or two after annual meeting is when we're supposed to move in.
Oh, great. That's
so
not far
that
off.
Close? Yeah.
I'm glad they're through with that drilling down there.
Oh, could you all hear it up there?
Slightly. We could feel it even.
Oh, there.
Hey, Gene.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of podcasting?
Heard of what?
Podcasting.
No.
Well, I'm doing it right now. I'm recording this. Do you mind if I play you on my show?
Just what about show?
I'll have to tell you about it sometime. Well, go check it out on the web sometime. It's Blind Cool Tech.
Okay.
So is it okay if I keep you on this
one? Well, I guess.
All right. You can kind of see what it's all about. I was just... Just talk sometimes to people on my way home and talk about technology and different stuff. It's like a radio show except it's on the internet.
Really?
Yeah.
And how would I get to it?
Blindcooltech.com.
Blindcooltech.com.
Mm-hmm. Blindcooltech.com. And I should tell our listeners, this is Jean, and she's going to be our neighbor downstairs. And you work for Attic. And you know what? We're going to come interview you guys one of these days because y'all do some really cool stuff there.
Well, please come. That'll be interesting.
We sure will.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well,
thanks, Larry. You have a good evening.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. All right. We just turned, so we're heading south. This wind is going to be too much on these microphones. I took the wind screens off. Why did I do that? Oh, yeah, those were recording those meetings in Dallas. So, now could y'all tell whether that was in front of me or behind me? It's a kid on a skateboard, I think. So we're going to try to tell if you can tell the direction of a car. One of the things we want to talk about today. Now, what about that car that just went by? I'll tell you, it was on my left side, so you have your speakers oriented correctly. And it went from back to front. Yeah, this wind is not going to be good. We'll try it a little while longer and see what happens. Let's go left. We just turned left, heading east, waiting to cross. I guess we can go since ahead. We just crossed State Street and we're walking back in front of APH again. Got a couple things I wanted to talk to you about today. Jeff Bishop sent in a clarification on that. Apparently there's not a way to keep window eyes from saying bottom when you get to the bottom of an email message. So there's ways we can do that. I'm just not sure whether it's worth the trouble to do it or not. Hey y'all. What about that car that just went by? And this one. The first one was back to front.
The
second
one was going to put these two young girls off the bus Monday.
Was,
polishing their nails.
Front to back. It's good to be walking again. I didn't walk this morning. I had to go to the dentist. I had a terrible toothache. In fact, I'm going to be making a stop at the drugstore to pick up a prescription. But I started out the day right with a root canal today. I didn't even realize I had any problems until Saturday. I kind of got a little bit of a toothache. And I thought, well, maybe it's my sinuses, you know, how sometimes, you know, because it wasn't very severe. So, took a couple aspirin. Well, about 11:30 Saturday night. Oh, man. Excruciating pain. And I don't take pain well anyway. Good boy, little buddy. I should point out, for those of you who are new to this show, we chat a lot about technology. We do sound seeing tours, which basically is recording something, a little aspect of life. Like I do quite a few things. It's kind of a good way for us to get out and to share some experiences with you guys. In fact, my family is accusing me that life has become a podcast. They do it in a good-spirited manner, though. They like to put on a front like they're tired of it, but they get into it. And we also do talks about technology. I think I mentioned that, sorry. And starting a new thing. Just started with the first one yesterday. Career profiles. Or, I guess we need to come up with a catchy name for that. Career snapshot, maybe. Where a person will talk about their career. And we had Mary Emerson yesterday. She talked about various things she's done at IBM for the last 20-something years. Very interesting. And hopefully we'll get some submissions from more of you. Okay, we are taking a right. Just stopping without crossing yet. We just are facing south now to cross Frankfort Avenue. It's easy to tell those cars are going left to right. But question is, can you tell whether a car is coming from front to back or back to front? And I honestly don't think you can, but we'll see. Good boy. I'm with my guide dog, Jake. We crossed the street, we're taking a left, so we're heading back east again. Same way, just on the other side of the road. Today was my first day back at work for, I was out 3 days, and I still haven't caught up with the email. I had big plans for getting a lot done today, but didn't get a lot of new stuff done. We're thinking about doing a little bit of experimentation with some sound environments. You know, we've kind of played around a little bit with these binaural microphones. You can probably tell I'm walking with a building to my right here. You can kind of hear the echo from the cars. But what I'd like to do is get some either 5.1 or a 7.1 sound system and try to create some environments. Now the question is going to be how to record that kind of setup, and we're just now looking into that kind of aspect of it. But I'll bet some of you guys out there that are audio experts probably already have those answers. Apparently there's some file formats that support more than just two channels. Neil, I'm thinking about you in particular. So we'll probably just start out with some experimentation with some simple things. Maybe, four or five people sitting around a round table where you would be in the middle. But, can you imagine some neat kinds of games you could create with this? There may already be some. Well, I'm sure there is in the sighted world. How y'all doing? Gorgeous day out, isn't it? Good boy, little buddy. Good doggy. We're stopping to let Jake relieve himself. Just cross the tracks here. It got warm out today. It was so nice and cool this morning. We finally got to shut the air conditioning off. And I was just telling Rob today that environment I had in the basement this morning when I recorded feedback 117 is probably about as good as I'm going to be able to do at home without spending a lot of money on soundproofing a room and so forth. And he took a little listen to it. I'll be darned if I didn't have crickets in there, and I didn't even hear them, but you can hear them in the recording. All right, I'm heading back east. Crossing a little street, New Old Main. And Jake's a good doggy. Well, Jake's glad to be doing a little walking too. So, I did a mini sound-seeing tour of the hotel. Just from my room down to down the elevator and just described the hotel the other day. I don't know if I'm going to mess with it or not. It was, or posted, I mean, it was not exactly captivating. I wish I'd have been recording, though, the night before when we went to go eat dinner. Because, that was a very, very confusing hotel. Of course, a lot of them are so big and open, it's hard to get very many acoustic cues. But what made this even worse was that the hallways were all angled. So when we got off the elevator, it was like spokes coming off a wheel. And then, you know, those were at a 45, and then the other hallways to the rooms were at 45-degree angles from that. And I'll be frank with you. I usually, and you have to be the director of the dog. So you have to tell him which way to go. But when I got off those elevators up on the 11th floor, you know, when you have elevators on both sides, it's difficult to keep your orientation. In fact, that's our topic for today. The point of reference. But keeping your sense of direction is very difficult when you don't have some external cues. And that's the way it was in this hotel. So often, I'd get off the elevator and I just let the dog have his head. Which, I really, normally is, I don't know about how you use your dog. I don't like to do that. I was actually surprised at how well he did, though. I should not be surprised. The problem is you have to communicate where it is you want to go. Now, that wasn't a problem on the 11th floor, because really we pretty much either went to the room, or if we were in the room, we went to the elevator. But when we got to the lobby, that was another story. Good boy, little buddy. So, Jake actually did amazingly well. Now, you can train a dog to say, to find an elevator. The easiest thing for them to do is to go outside. Of course, he did that, no problem. Then when we came back in, we usually either wanted to go to the meeting room, which was on the first floor, or the elevator. And of course, after the second day, I was fine with that. But first day was a little confusing. But what amazed me was that I had asked one of the bellmen to show me where the gift shop was Wednesday evening. Then Thursday evening, I went down that same hall, which ran along the outside wall of the main floor of the building, because I knew the restaurant was down that way. And I passed the restaurant, and there was nobody in there. So I kept going, because I knew there was a bar further on down. How about, good boy. And on the way to the bar, Jake stopped at the gift shop again. So it was neat. It showed me. Now, can you tell? You can probably tell that's in front of me. It's Weed Eater or whatever it is. Because we're getting closer to it. How y'all doing? But then we kept going and noticed there were a few people in this next doorway, and I thought that might be the bar. But yeah, because there were TVs on in there too. That's always a good clue. And as I was going in there, fella said, "You looking for a chair? There's one right around the corner here at the bar." I said, "Sure." And he asked me where I was from. I told him, he says, "Well, I'll be darned, we're from Lexington." Which, Lexington, of course, is another one of the... Let's go right, little buddy. Let's go inside. Okay, we're turning in this parking lot, heading south into Walgreens. Good boy. Whoa. Okay. Hey, let's do that again. Watch that. Come on. There you go. Much better. Let's go straight. Up. Up. There you go. We're heading toward the back. That's the photo department. Hey, how are you? Good. Up, up. Good boy. Have a seat, little buddy. Good doggy. Alrighty.
Yes, sir.
Should have a prescription for Scootcon. SKUTCHAN.
Pleasant View Avenue?
Yes, indeed.
Alright, it would be $10.
That's 2 fives, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Do you want your receipt separately or you want me to staple it to the bag?
You can just staple it on the bag.
All right. Do you have any questions or anything?
I sure don't.
There you go.
Thank you. All right. Let's go outside. Right. Right. Good boy.
Thank you for your support. Together, we can save a life.
Good doggy. Let's go outside. There you go. Good boy. Outside. That's it. Good boy. What's up? Excuse me. What's up? Good dog. Good boy, little buddy. All right, we're heading back out toward the street. Good boy. So take that out to the sidewalk to the right. Put this in our pocket. Good boy. Hello. That was funny running into some people from Lexington there, all the way in Dallas. So anyway, about this point of reference, I don't know if you would call this folklore or not, but the story goes that if a traveler is in the desert and a sandstorm comes up where they have no references to any stars or any landmarks, and this person walks, eventually he will begin walking in a large circle. Now, whether that's due to some of the things you hear, maybe one leg shorter than the other a little bit, or what, the fact is that they won't continue going straight because they don't have a reference point. That happens with us as blind people quite frequently. I think we've all had that experience where we accidentally make a turn and all of a sudden you're not sure what direction you're going anymore. And I think one particular example of that I had was one day I had just moved back down here and I was living by myself, and I went to walk to Kroger and I got too much groceries to carry, after I thought about it, what I should have done was just taken half of them and come back and got the other half. Because what I did was get a cart, and then I had to turn around and bring it back anyway, so that wasn't too smart. But I'm pulling this cart, and I go to cross a side street, and between the noise of the cart and a few other things, I got disoriented and I ended up actually crossing the main street instead of a side street. Man, I need to cut these branches again. I got to the other side. Of course, I expected the sidewalk to keep going straight. And, you know, if there would have been a road there, I'd have been worse off, because I immediately recognized what I did, but at the same time, it was still very disconcerting to get turned around that way. And this same kind of thing happens often if a blind person goes into, for example, a large room with a lot of people in it. And as you move around the room, you begin to lose track unless... Hey, it is. Unless there's some references. You know, furniture, what have you. Now, with a dog, it's a little easier than with a cane because you can just tell the dog to let's go and he'll usually take you out the way you came in. But still, it's still disconcerting. Now, it seems to me like a little device that would keep track of your direction would be a very useful thing to have for these kinds of situations. And obviously, the first thing that comes to mind is a compass. And indeed, that would work. Except for the fact that a compass can get false readings when there are metal objects around, like elevator shafts, or, well, anything large and metal, anything magnetic. So one of the criteria for a device like this is that it has to be accurate either 100% of the time or pretty darn close to it, no matter what the environment is. Now obviously you have to be able to use this device indoors and outdoors, so that leaves GPS technology out. Good boy. That's it, little buddy. Crossing a little street there called Bailey. Well, it turns out there's a name for this kind of device. What we're trying to do is a thing called dead reckoning. So, what we want to do, for example, is walk into a room, turn around, and point to the place where we just came from, and press a button. And then we want to be able to find that point again. Now, I don't think it's necessarily an advantage to be able to find that exact spot in terms of an XY direction, but at the very least, and probably adequately enough, you need to be able to find that direction. So, in theory, you can either be on the other side of that spot, on either side of it, and you'll still be pointing in the same direction. If you mark the XY coordinate as you pass that spot, obviously, your point would move past your point, and this device would alert you to that fact. So this device would also have to be something that was small enough that you didn't need to carry yet another piece of equipment around with you all the time that was bulky. So maybe the size of a pen light would be an adequate size, adequately small size. And one way this could work is that you could hold another button down. There would be a set button and a find button. And I can think of many embellishments to such a device, but at the bare minimum, you would hold down, you'd have these two buttons, and you would hold down the find button and rotate yourself around. And as you got closer to the magic direction that you had set, your device would either emit a sound or begin vibrating. And it would be nice to have gradations so that, you know, if you were close, you would get a smaller vibration maybe. And when you were dead on it, you would get some kind of different indication. This kind of thing would have to be worked out. So that would do a couple of things for you. It would allow you to walk in a straight line, say through an open field. It would help you out on the street to make sure that, you know, you didn't accidentally angle off somewhere. It would help you out in this situation where you go into a large room. Say you walk into a hotel and you're in this huge lobby. You would just turn around, face the door, and mark your spot, set your find spot. And then as you navigated through the lobby, you'd always be able to tell what direction you were in, which would greatly increase your chances of orientation, proper orientation. Now, this would also help even on the second and subsequent floors. So, as you got out of the elevators, you know, no matter which side of the hall they were on, you would have an orientation of which way the front of the building was. So, obviously right now, if you walk out of the elevator, you have a choice of left and right, but you don't know from whence you came. So with this other dimension, this reference point, suddenly you have a lot more information. Well, it turns out those are some ferocious guys, aren't they? You're a good boy, little buddy. You looked, but well, it turns out there's other people that are interested in this as well. Apparently it has applications for the military. Has applications for firefighters. In fact, I've read that there are proposals to put sensors in buildings, say in three areas of the building, so that if a firefighter went into a smoking, darkened building, he would always be able to tell where he was. Good, how you doing?
Hi. That's a trusty buddy there.
Huh? I sure do.
That's good.
He would be able to tell where he was in relationship to the rest of the building. And, theoretically, if he had a sensor on himself as well, others could pinpoint his position. Of course, since there were three transmitters, you would have an exact position. And that's a great idea, but I don't think it's right for this particular purpose, because we need something. We need something that works in anywhere, inside, outside, old buildings, new buildings, and This would require that every building, obviously, would be fitted with this apparatus. So, I went to a bubble positioning system conference here a few years ago in Portland and looked around and found that there were one or two companies that were actually working on such a device. A Swedish company, and man, I'm embarrassed, I cannot remember the name of it right now. I know it started with an L. It'll come to me. It's not Lycos, of course. Anyway, they were working on such a device that used gyroscopes, altimeters. What else did it have in it? I think it might have had, accelerometer. And I believe it has one more measuring device in it. So, what this thing did was actually try to keep track of your movement in a three-dimensional, in three-dimensional space. Good boy. All right, I forgot to tell y'all, we turned right back there. And I am crossing this street and taking another right onto Stilts. Well, it turns out that this little device, it was small, about the size of a pack of cigarettes, a little smaller. It was very expensive to develop and it wasn't accurate. So, in other words, the more you moved around, there would be a little error here and there. And then these little errors compounded upon themselves to make bigger errors. So, as of a few years ago, as far as I know, this is a theoretical device. But, gosh, would it be nice, especially, like I say, if it was small, inexpensive, you would have to have it with you all the time or it would be useless. And it would have to be easy enough to use with one hand and fast and easy to both set and read. So, if any of you know of any research along those lines, I would be most interested. And so would a lot of other people. Well, we just turned left. We went up the hill. We're going to turn left onto our stairs. And I will tell you, good people, good evening from Blind Cool Tech. We're at 206-984-9203 or Blind Cool Tech @gmail.com. Hey, ladies.
Hello.
What's up?
Yeah, I'm supposed to get off work around 4.
Well, I didn't go in until 10:30.
What happened?
I went to the dentist, remember? We did a root canal.
Did it hurt?
It hurt till after he did it. Still sore, but feels much better.
Still taking those pain pills?
Not yet, but I'm gonna. There you go, boys. Let's get you Dogs act like they never seen each other.
She's gonna get it, you leave it alone.
I'm gonna grab a cold cherry BP. What was I saying? Oh, our website's blindcooltech.com. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you guys next time. That is the spot.